Busted Pencils is an independent production and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy!
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Welcome back, Johnny Lupinacci. We had a little bit of a two-week break there. Moving places, moving van, showed up at the Slecker new household in Ohio. So pretty soon I will be out of the basement of my in-laws where the show is now being recorded. But man, welcome back. Special edition show tonight. Special edition of the Cones Zone. People listening to the podcast long know the history. We've had Alfie Cone and Cones Zone. Alfie Cone, come on, how much more of an introduction do you need than Cone's Zone? But Alfie, The Schools Our Kids Deserve, Punished by Rewards, keep going, you name the books, he's put them out there, he's written them, he's talked about this. But Alfie, the new thing now, the blog post, skepticism. In this era of alternative truths, you decide to come out and talk to us about the reality of what it means to be a skeptic. And I instantly reached out to you and said, Alfie, we got to have you on the show. You were gracious enough to come on. What is it about skepticism? And I want to start this with maybe more of an easier question that teachers might get wrong from the start, because skepticism, critical thinking, all of those things seem to kind of mesh together in a little bit. And in your piece, you do a really good job of teasing them out. But even a teacher who might be, quote, thinking they're creating skepticism, could they fall victim of maybe pushing an agenda or not really being a skeptic?
Sure, it's entirely possible, especially when the general category of critical thinking is used. That had a big spike, I think, back in the 80s to bring critical thinking into classrooms. But it tended to be a series of discrete skills for thinking logically, for spotting fallacious arguments, you know, post hoc ergo propter hoc. Just because something follows something else doesn't mean it was caused by it. You equip kids with all these things. But that's, first of all, a very individualistic way of coming at it rather than thinking about communities of people who are thinking critically. Second, it's entirely cognitive. It's not about a disposition to challenge and to question. And to raise your hand and say, that doesn't make sense to me, or I prefer not to, as a famous literary character said. And so I think for years, teachers haven't been adequately helping kids to become what I call reasoned rebels. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about this some years ago in an article that's on my website called Challenging Students and How to Have More of Them. But in this latest blog piece, I take this in a different direction because I have been very unsettled to realize that the same language that I and many others have been using to promote challenging the status quo, asking questions, demanding good research, has been hijacked, in effect, by people who are not honest skeptics at all, but have a very dark, typically far-right agenda, but they've appropriated the language of saying, don't believe everything you're told, do your research. And they're doing that in a way that forced me to think, but what is honest or real or genuine skepticism that goes a step beyond just the mechanics of critical thinking?
Yeah, I thought about that because I've heard this too in the discussions, and you lay this out there. It's the, look, I'm just asking questions, as if that's a skeptic. And that's not what you're doing when you're just asking questions. In fact, one of the pieces you refer to, which on radio we're not going to say, but the BS word comes up from one of the authors. And if anybody needs any form, you know what bull blank means, calling bull poop. Okay. So bull poop, I'm just asking questions. Help me make sense of that.
Well, it's fine to ask questions, but when you see people do it in a very cynical and disingenuous way, like Carlson on Fox News, who hides behind that all the time. Yeah, I'm just asking questions about whether Biden won fair and square. You know, I'm just asking questions about whether the vaccine, you know, is basically a way of helping the government to spy on you. First of all, these are not legitimate, justified questions. Second, they're not meant to be open-ended and lead to a process of discovery and exploration. They're meant to undermine something without any basis. And third, they never stop with the questions, even once they know that there is solid research to answer them, which is what gives the lie to the idea that they were, quote, just asking questions. And that's why that's just one element, one example of how people hide behind the rubric or the classification of skepticism or questioning in order to undermine reality. And so this, and I, two of the examples of that, which overlap a lot, are people who are claiming to be skeptical of what happened in the 2020 election and just raising questions about election fraud, even though it's been decisively shown that there was virtually none, and that people use the possibility of election fraud in order to systematically undermine not only what happened in the last election, but a democratic process going forward, setting the table for something very frightening and authoritarian. And those people overlap a lot with the folks who are causing, you know, tens of thousands of people to die unnecessarily by raising fake questions or demonstrating unsupported skepticism about life-saving vaccines. And the third example is, of course, the so-called skeptics of the global climate emergency, which has been demonstrated scientifically beyond any reasonable question, and claiming to be skeptics when in fact they're science deniers. So I mentioned that I looked into two books that are about the difference between science and pseudoscience, hoping to find some clues as to how to distinguish between skepticism and pseudo-skepticism. One is the book called Calling BS. As if saying that word on the radio should be our main worry at a time when our democracy and our culture and our climate are, anyway. But one of them, that book by a couple of scientists named Bergstrom and West was helpful to me, as was another book by Stephen Novella, who has a podcast with a bunch of other people called The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. And so I sort of, in my blog piece, went through step by step trying to figure out what criteria can we use to sort of flesh out what genuine skepticism means. Because you can't say, well, real skeptics agree with me about this stuff and are skeptical of the stuff I don't like. You know, that's right. Sort of cheating. You got to figure out, you know, why certain beliefs deserve to be regarded as trustworthy and others don't. And, you know, is it about the motives of the skeptics? You know, well, maybe, because some people try to ask questions a lot because they think it makes them look smarter or brave, you know, because I don't fall for what the other people are doing. But the reality is, you know, that you've got not only pseudo-skepticism, but its darker twin, which which is, I guess, conspiracy theorizing, that is it just among people who are on the left side of the political spectrum? You know, you've got anti-vaxxers who are groovy, back-to-the-earth liberals, and you've got people claiming garbage pseudoscience stuff about astrology and magnetism and what have you, who aren't always on the right. So even if you wanted to look for political guidance, you wouldn't necessarily find it. And that ultimately led me to think about what's the nature of skepticism itself? What are its defining features that would allow us to know that we are real skeptics, not merely using the language of skepticism in order to get to a preordained conclusion that we liked all along?
Well, and so, man, so much there, Alfie. We're going to hold you back for one more segment when we come back, because putting that all together, I still want to throw this into the classroom context, because we know people listening to Busted Pencils, educated educators talking education, want to know about skepticism. How do we apply it in the classroom? And that's what we're here. Alfie Cohn, Fully Leaded, more Busted Pencils back after break.
That's right.